time now for Gardening with Embark, and joining me in the studio right now is our gardens expert, Pablo Vimas from Embark Sustainability. And week 34?
Hi, morning. Yes, week 34. Whoa. We've been coming since week 13, if I remember well. So, yeah. Week 34, and so what we can do in the garden. What happened here, if you're in campus, you will see that most of our trees along the main roads are turning red. So slowly the green leaves are turning purple, red, and that tells us that, well, summer is almost over.
Yeah.
Nature is telling us that, slowly cold winds will come. Even though we are having a strong weekend, hot weekend, and still good weather, but nature is already telling, we are done with the summer.
Yeah, you can already sort of notice that even if the middle of the day is warm, it's cooling off in the winter, or not the winter, in the evening, quicker than it did even a couple of weeks ago.
Correct.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. And so as well, some of the trees are starting to drop the leaves. Mm-hmm. So you will see again footpaths full of leaves, dry leaves. So
even though we're in the middle of summer, we're seeing the beginnings of fall.
Correct. Yeah. The beginnings of fall, which is nice if you're into photography. Yeah. This is the time to go and start looking for those spots with colorful leaves. Yeah. And So
what does all this mean for the gardener?
So for our gardener means that, well, it is time to start planting our fall garden. It's time to start transplanting all the cold crops that we have started as a nursery before.
Yeah.
And the previous weeks, and now it's just time to start planting. So we can transplant our broccoli, cabbage, cauliflower, and we can start crops like spinach, lettuce from seeds, arugula as well, pak choy, because the weather is cooling down, and the pak choy won't bolt because of the hot temperatures.
Right. So right
now is the time to start putting all our leafy greens and root vegetables in.
Question, because I know we also grow all these leafy greens in the spring, and then we switch to some other stuff, and we're coming back to them in the fall.
Correct.
And obviously part of that is because, I guess, the season is good for growing them. But you mentioned about bolting, and does the fact that we're in these sort of shoulder seasons, does that slow down the sort of that transition of the plant?
So what happened is during the spring, we go from a cold weather to a hot weather.
Yep.
And that tends to affect plants that don't like hot weather into going to seed, flowers we call bolting, and seed. Now we are going the opposite. We are going from a hot weather to a cold weather. So hot at the moment is good. The soil is warm, good weather, so we can put our seeds. The seeds will germinate in 7 days, 10 days, and the plant will start developing very quick.
Yeah.
As the plant grows, the temperature drops, the plant still is happy. There is no rush into create flowers or seeds because the weather is cooling.
Yeah.
So that's why at the moment we have not to worry about plants bolting or going into flowers or seeds.
Right.
Yeah. We are in week 34. 10 more weeks will be 44, and then we are in November.
Yeah.
And we are ready for the first frost,
right,
which we are around November the 11th. So 12 weeks from now to the first frost.
Yeah.
So now is just the right time to start planting our fall garden. We will hold planting bulbs like garlic until the weather gets really cold. So we're talking about mid-October.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then when the weather gets cold and the soil gets cold as well, is the time to put garlic in the ground.
And that's going to come up for us next spring.
Next spring, yes. Garlic is one of the crops that takes 9 months to develop.
Yeah. Right. What other things are we thinking about for the fall?
For the fall is the Walla Walla onions. So if you can get some seedlings of Walla Walla onions, that would be great. But if not, we might start now some from seeds. Hopefully by in the next 10 weeks we have some small plants.
Yeah.
There are crops that like to, they are good for overwintering. So Walla Walla onions is one of those. They like overwintering. As well, we have the cabbage, broccolinis, and Brussels sprouts.
Yeah.
Of course, we shouldn't forget about the kale.
Yeah.
Leeks as well. A few weeks ago, we were talking about transplanting new leeks.
Yep.
So new leeks should be now nice and settled in the garden. And as the weather cools off, these leeks start like, yeah, this is my environment, this is what I like, and you start developing.
So we're sort of putting some stuff in the plant into the ground now, and there's some other ones we've started even earlier in the summer.
Earlier in the summer, yeah.
For fall harvest. When do we start seeing these come ready? It sounds like the leeks might be starting to be
The leeks might start to be ready. Some of them will be depending. Man, the weather has been warm.
Yeah.
And depending, we could be able to have them for winter break.
Yeah.
As well with the Brussels sprouts. The Brussels sprouts already have some tiny little Brussels sprouts along the main stem.
Yeah.
So as well, this other crop that we will have ready to harvest in winter.
Right. Excellent.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's lots of things to do. And as well, it's time to think to collect leaves. All these leaves that are dropping, it's time to start collecting slowly. And you know that if you collect them, you store them, and those in a plastic bag, they will turn into a leaf mold, which is a good source of for mulching the garden beds. As well, that can be added to our compost as a brown materials. So yeah, this is a time that, again, we start thinking, oh, the leaves are falling, well, I can do that. Here in Bark, we have a mulcher, which is a string kind of that trims the leaves into small pieces that we can add, store them and add over this next season to the composter, and as well we use to mulch the garden beds.
Right. So as always, a busy time in the garden.
Yes, fall becomes busy now.
Yeah.
Summer was busy because we were watering and harvesting, and now it's, the harvesting continues, but now we are moving into mulching and protecting the garden, thinking in ways to protect the garden for the winter.
Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah.
Big time in the garden. Well, it's always a big time in the garden.
Absolutely. And then let's see how in the previous 3 years we had a long October, a long weather, warm weather until October, November.
Mm-hmm.
So somehow the climate change has extended our gardening season.
Yeah.
So let's see this year. There's already some in social media you can see that, we are going to have a strong wind and very cold. So let's see how it comes. So let's be always prepared. Adding a mulch into over the soil is quite good.
Yeah.
We create a nice habitat for our living things in the soil.
Yeah.
And if the soil gets cold, the snow comes out, all these earthworms will move up into this mulch and they will stay over the winter.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much, Pablo. We have a lot more gardening to talk about as we move through all these periods in the fall.
Yes. There's lots of things to talk. And as well, here in Bark, we are preparing ourselves for our next school year, which is starting in 2 weeks, week 36. So we are already thinking, we are programming for our want to be gardeners or some gardeners who like to learn a bit more.
Yep.
So we are already preparing all our fall cohort that will start on September the 25th.
Great. How do people find out more about Embark?
So follow us in our social media channels at Embark Sustainability. Visit our website at embark.org. And yes, visit us here in the Student Union. Our office is 1310, and we'll be happy to talk to you and see a bit more about the events that we are hosting over this fall.
Great. Well, thanks so much for coming by today, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you. See you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This is a tune called Postal Code. Finally got a pair of cowboy boots. I went blind, but now I'm back. Zeus. Ever since I moved closer to the mountainside, I finally see the rain and the stars are clear in the sky. This little town is slowly shrinking down to half the size. Maybe it's you, maybe it's me, maybe the truth just isn't that deep. You asked me to stay, I lied through my teeth. The falter of the bottom isn't that steep. I can't stop running out. Nothing's fixed by a brand new postal code. Driving green.
Passing in the night. With some party, thanks to my buddy's beer and joint. Here's the keys, joint.
Yo, I'm not driving. I'm way too stoned. How are you feeling, beer?
Oh, since we had that talk, I'm not driving tonight at all.
What about you, Dave?
You only had a couple of drinks.
And only a couple of puffs.
I don't drink and drive. No way I'm getting behind the wheel when I smoked weed, too.
How are we getting home, then?
Come on, Dave. Take one for the team.
Don't let weed and alcohol influence your decision to drive.
Yeah, I need a ride.
A message from Mad Canada.
Hello out there in Radio Land. We've had a pre-recorded show up until now. I'm Peter R.H. I'm usually with Magnus, but I think everything's been well-handed. Jesse, who's Thursdays, he's here manning the controls because I can't do this stuff. I'm dependent on Magnus. And Jesse, just maybe say a few words.
Yeah, that's right. Hello. I'm Jesse. You know me from Thursday Speak Up. Happy to be here with you this morning, Peter. To continue to sort of pick up where you left off last week talking
last week I was very critical of Hugh Chavez because what had happened was that I use the expressions, the chickens come to roost. I mean, before the chickens came to roost, he died. And how Hugh Chavez was handling the economy was it was just going to have the same thing. It wasn't that the successor, Manuro, he didn't, I mean, he was sort of handed something. Not that he could do better. I think he has a totalitarian state, unfortunately, he's in charge of. And unfortunately, Hugo Chavez had aspects of that during his reign. He sort of, he had a lot of the petroleum money, and he was, I guess there was some good aspects, but it could have been better management of the economy. In fact, the problem I brought last week, he wanted to be almost the person in control of it. And I mentioned a 2009 documentary by Oliver Stone that was about Venezuela, and it was about a few other South American countries. Brazil was one of them, and that's what I'm going to be bringing up. One thing from the 2009 documentary by Oliver Stone, one thing that kind of really brought to my attention was Lula, and it was sort of like he was president previously, and he just has become, in I think late 2023, he's become president again, and he was approximately the OOs to the early tens, as they say.
2002 to 2006 is what
yes, thank you. It was beyond 2000.
Oh, sorry, 2002, and then also in 2006. So 2002 to 2010.
Yes, thank you, Jesse. You're doing the magnet's job a little bit. Anyway, so, but one thing I was impressed was that he completely paid off the IMF loan. And they are free of, and here I'm reading from the Google, as George W. Bush called it. And I put in, does Brazil owe the IMF? It says, no, Brazil does not currently owe money to the IMF. The country repaid its entire outstanding debt to the organization in 2005 while ahead of schedule. While Brazil has borrowed from the IMF in past, notably was a significant stand-up agreement approved in 1998 and then completed early in 2005. It has been free of IMF financial obligations since that time. Now, in the documentary, South of the Border is the name of it, 2009, Lula said, well, the IMF said to him, oh, just, it's okay. You don't have to pay it now. We can roll it back. But he said, no. We're paying it back. We're paying the thing. We're out of control of it. And that kind of impressed me. Now, the thing is that sometimes you might like somebody and they'll sort of be sort of in agreement with some concept that you can't totally agree with. Mm-hmm. And I think that Lula, to this day, he sort of thinks highly of Hugo Chavez, probably how Venezuela was. But that doesn't mean that I it's sort of interesting, like Nelson Mandela, kind of like Cuba, like Fidel Castro, partially because when other countries weren't sort of backing them up, they kind of were. But that doesn't mean I think Nelson Mandela was an important historical figure, but that doesn't mean I agree with everything he mm-hmm. does. But it doesn't mean that I think some of the reasons for my disagreement are on outrageous grounds, you know.
Right. People are complicated and multifaceted. Yeah.
Now, one of the things that kind of interests me about the fact that Lula had paid off the IMF and didn't get any future loans, I guess other future presidents didn't either, including the last one. Say the name correctly.
Jair Bolsonaro.
Yes. And okay, well, maybe have time to get into that too. But what it was, there was a military dictatorship in Brazil from 1964 to 1985. And in 1981, this was the last act by Robert McNamara when he was president of the World Bank. He gave out a loan for the deforestation of the Amazon rainforest for cattle raising. And the World Bank, the IMF, are not quite the same as such. I think I don't know if you take a World Bank loan, is that considered an IMF loan? In some cases, it's considered, like Jamaica in the 1970s took sort of more emergency loans, and it wasn't the World Bank, it was the IMF. However, they are very related. They are both affiliated with United Nations. I'm kind of told at times, oh, they're not part of the United Nations. I said, well, they're part of the United Nations system, okay, which means that the whole United Nations system and the United Nations itself has problems. I got by getting – and the Robert McNamara debt, who was the architect of the Vietnam War, he was Secretary of Defense from 1961 to 68. Then he washed his hands of it, became World Bank president from 68 to 1981. And then the thing is that he loaned money to Brazil, a very questionable thing. I mean, to be deforestation of the Amazon rainforest for cattle. Because the one thing that's interesting, I guess what they do is that they slaughter the cattle and they get it frozen, like in the movie Rocky. I usually think, how could you kind of transport? Isn't that kind of a perishable item? But I guess you got
freezing
the whole
freeze
it and you bring it up. So that, and in fact, it was McDonald's, was a lot of was going to McDonald's. Mm-hmm. So, one of the things when I on the Google, I put, was Brazil fascist in 1981, and they said no. However, I don't know, like, if you've got a military dictatorship, isn't that fascist?
I mean, that's certainly one of the characteristics of fascism.
But a
way to describe a fascist government.
See, so. I just did that just to find out, just to have the background of when that World Bank loan was done. It was the last thing that Robert McNamara did, and I was just sort of – I wanted some context. But I don't think that's particularly good to have that myself. Anyway, what's happening right now is that Donald Trump is giving a 50% tariff to Brazil, and actually Brazil buys more from the United States – than vice versa. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of the thing. Well, we have a trade imbalance and all of this. But the point is that there isn't. So say the name of the last president, Jesse.
Bolsonaro.
He likes him. And actually, it's quite understandable that he is being under persecution. The last election in 2003 was a bit close. It was Bolsonaro was 49%. And Lula was 51%. However, and I heard a podcast about this to prepare for this segment, and they were saying, well, it's due course. It's going through the courts, and he might even get off or whatever. It's just like he's being accountable for certain things. And Trump, of course, is being unreasonable again with this. So I think there'll be more. Jesse, you were mentioning there's somebody who is from Brazil.
One of our work studies is a student from Brazil, and he might be able to link up with you to have a further discussion.
Yes, that would be interesting. Mm-hmm. So how much left?
We're right up against the clock here. We got about 30 seconds until Democracy Now! Is up next. So, Peter R.H., thanks for once again coming in and sharing some thoughts about,
international politics.
I'm Jesse Wentzloff, and Peter will be back next Monday.
Pre-recorded because
it is Labor
because
Day.
The whole building is closed on a holiday. We have to pre-record segments in those days.
And you know what? In honor of Labor Day, I'm happy to take the day off, I think.
Well, I live off in a state, so I only work on Mondays. But I always prepare for the show.
Hi, I'm